Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas said on Friday a reform of the education system was essential and would be implemented. The opposition Social Democrats say the country should revise its negative stand to the EU fiscal treaty. And President Klaus has come under fire for granting a poorly justified pardon. Prime Minister Petr Nečas said on Friday a reform of the education system was essential for the country to remain competitive and would be implemented despite protests from the academic sphere. Addressing a conference of rectors, the Prime Minister said that one could not forever revise planned reforms and that action was long overdue. He stressed that the reforms made would not infringe on academic freedoms or threaten the autonomy of universities. In reference to the most controversial part of the planned reform, the introduction of tuition fees, Education Minister Josef Dobeš said he would once again consult the matter with a finance minister. The Czech government should not join Britain in its negative stand on the EU fiscal treaty, opposition Social Democrat deputy head Lubomír Zaorálek said, in connection with the upcoming consultations between the British and Czech prime ministers ahead of the next EU summit on March 1st. Mr. Zaorálek said Britain's arguments against the treaty ensue from the country's specific position in the EU, while the Czech negative position is weak and unclear in terms of arguments, and the country is therefore perceived as an unreadable and unreliable member of the alliance. The Czech Prime Minister, who together with Britain refused to sign the treaty, maintains that nothing has been lost since the Czech Republic can join the treaty any time in the future, and argues that in any case such a move should be preceded by a referendum, since the treaty transfers certain national powers to the European level. The presidential candidate who currently tops the polls with a 24% rating, former Prime Minister Jan Fischer, has told the internet news site Lidovka.cz that if he were in office, he would sign the EU's fiscal pact. Asked to state his position on the matter, Mr. Fischer said that while he did not find the treaty in its present form ideal, it was certainly acceptable. The current president, Václav Klaus, is a fierce critic of further EU integration and has made it clear that he will not, under any circumstances, ratify the treaty. There has been fresh criticism of a pardon granted by President Václav Klaus. It concerns Anna Benešová, former director of the private Metropolitan University in Prague, who was given a suspended sentence for bribery and fraud. The Daily Lidové Noviny noted on Friday that the woman pardoned had ties with the president's wife, Livia, and pointed out that the reason cited for her pardon, which was to enable her to care for her seriously ill husband, was nonsensical, since a suspended sentence did not prevent her from doing so. The paper noted that the president's pardon had given Benešová a clean criminal record. State attorney Marek Bodlak, who was in charge of the case, told the Daily the pardon was incomprehensible and nonsensical. Poor conditions continue on Czech roads, which have been plagued by heavy snow and ice since Wednesday. In the region surrounding Prague, only the D8 motorway to Ústí nad Labem was free of restrictions on Friday morning. Increased caution is called for on other motorways from the metropolis, and many roads in the higher altitudes are completely impassable. Rail and bus passengers are advised to check their itineraries as a number of routes are blocked by accidents or snow. With temperatures rising above zero during the day, people in cities have been warned about falling snow and icicles from rooftops. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast for the coming weekend. The coming days are expected to bring more snow showers and day temperatures between 2 and 6 degrees Celsius. Nighttime lows should not fall below minus 4 degrees. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, the most celebrated of Czech directors, Miloš Forman, turns 80 years old. After that, we'll have a rundown of the news of the week in business. And later on in this week's Arts, we look at a documentary filmmaker's 37-year effort to map the life of one Czech family. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. Director Miloš Forman celebrates his 80th birthday on Saturday, and newspapers in his native country are full of tributes. In the small category of Czech artists who have conquered the world, Forman has a seat among the likes of Antonín Dvořák and Milan Kundera, and Czechs are duly proud of him for his success. But his approach to filmmaking and style of direction also permanently altered the course of cinematography in the Czech Republic and elsewhere, a fact I discussed earlier with Karel Och, the artistic director of the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival.
Well, I'm convinced that not only his, but also his colleagues from the same generation, from Czechoslovak New Wave, their cinema, and especially Forman's influence, all generations which came afterwards, and in every generation there have been a few filmmakers who communicated somehow with this legacy. Sasha Gedeon, in his beginnings, he was sort of compared to Czechoslovak New Wave, and even if you watch films by Bohdan Slama, there are some hints. I don't say he's directly influenced, but I think these films from back from 60s, one way or another, they was a great influence, and it's something that every filmmaker has to sort of relate to or communicate.
But what is it specifically about those films? How would you describe them to people who are more familiar with his American work?
For instance, there are all kinds of elements, but for instance, the fact of combining actors with non-actors, and that's actually something which on our travels abroad we often discuss with filmmakers when we talk about their approach to the actors, or whether they prefer actors, non-actors. So that's an example which comes to my mind, because last week I actually had a conversation on that topic with a Greek director who was Oscar nominated for Dogtooth last year, and this was exactly this type of conversation about the actors and whether it's better to use actors, non-actors. So obviously Forman's name came up, and that might be an answer on your question concerning the resonance of his work and of his approach abroad.
Do you believe we've seen the last of his films? There have been some indications that he may not make any more films, or do you have any idea what his plans are for the future?
I'm not sure. I've been hearing during last years about several projects of his, and I very much hope we haven't seen all films yet. We know that it usually takes him several years to make a new film, and I would love to see a new film within, a year or two, because, it's sort of a special event every time it happens, no matter what the reception is and where the film starts. It's always an event, because the films are just incredible and really a delight to watch.
Well, lastly, you see hundreds of films a year. Are there any particular directors or single films that remind you very much of Miloš Forman's work? Is there any up-and-coming claim to the Forman throne?
There's an American director, Cary Fukunaga. I wouldn't say they are similar, but he's a young director who is in a total control of his film. Yet they seem very, very elegant, not really, over controlled. But every single aspect of it, starting with a strong story and very particular, approach towards characters, editing, and especially editing of the music, which makes Forman a very interesting director as opposed to the others. That might be an example of someone who has a bright future and already in his younger years is quite unique.
That was Karel Och, artistic director of the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. This is Radio Prague. More from the world of film coming up later on, but first, as always of a Friday, I'm joined in the studio by Daniela Lazarova for a look back at the week in business.
The number of freight trucks produced in the Czech Republic has halved over the last decade, reports Hospodářské noviny, while in 2001, four producers added 2,718 vehicles to the market. By 2011, that figure was down to 1,293, with only two companies making these vehicles. In the intervening years, both Praga and Škoda Mnichovo Hradiště have ceased production of freight vehicles. Only Tatra, which made 702 vehicles in 2011, and Arvia, which made 591 vehicles, remained in this market. The former saw an almost 25% drop in production in 2001, while the latter saw production increase by 23%. Of the total production, 993 vehicles were headed for export abroad. According to KPMG analyst Jan Linhardt, this trend is the opposite of that in the global market, but the Czech truck business is so small that minor fluctuations can have a large effect.
Czech household spending is stagnating, according to new data from the Czech Statistics Office, and this is having a negative impact on the overall economy. Household consumption plays a significant role in GDP growth. The last three quarters of 2011 showed falls in this indicator of between -0.1% and -0.2%. The last time three quarters of negative growth in household spending were seen was in early 2009 and were a direct result of the global financial meltdown. Prior to that, the last such slowdown was in 1995. According to the Czech press agency, between 2004 and 2008, strong household spending contributed at least 2% annually to the country's GDP. While the latest falls are of concern to analysts, they are still far smaller than the drops in 2009, which in the third quarter reached -0.9%.
The Czech Agriculture and Food Inspection Authority has discovered wide-scale defrauding of consumers by several major Czech supermarket chains. Specifically, they're accused of altering expiry date information on over-the-counter delicatessen goods and offering for sale goods that are technically unfit for human consumption. This week, the retail chain Kaufland was implicated for selling out-of-date cheese products in its store in Blansko, with the inspectors banning 25 kilos of the product from being sold. Later, the inspection office announced that similar practices had been discovered at Tesco, Billa and Ahold. In all the cases, products such as salads and salami had initial expiry dates illegally extended via the addition of new labels, often stuck over the old ones.
Last year, the Czech government spent 39.5 billion crowns more on pensions than it received in revenue, according to the Czech press agency. This represents the greatest fall since 2003 and leaves the Czech pension system in the red for the third year in a row. Further, 2011 pension revenue was 10.2 billion crowns lower than in 2010. Overall, the social security system, combining pensions and health care, was 36.4 billion in the red in 2011. On the positive side, the health care system took in more than was spent, ending up 3.2 billion crowns in the black. According to spokesperson Jana Buraňová of the Czech Social Security Administration, higher pension expenditures are responsible for the growing gap between revenues and spending.
Year-on-year inflation rose in January to 3.5, up from the previous month's levels of 2.4, according to new data released by the Czech Statistics Office. Consumer prices rose 1.8 in January, primarily the result of a VAT increase from 10 to 14% coming into effect. The overall level of inflation is now at its highest in 3 years, while the month-on-month rise is the largest seen since January 2008. Specifically, January saw food and non-alcoholic beverage prices increase most, as well as the cost of electricity and gas. Global crude oil price rises, coupled with a weakening crown, have also led to fuel costs rising. Conversely, prices fell in several areas, including electronic goods and clothing. Meanwhile, wages remain stagnant, according to the Czech Statistics Office.
Many thanks to Daniela Lazarová. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. The country's leading documentary maker has released her latest film, a feature-length project that chronicles the life of one Czech family over a time span of 37 years. By adding archive TV footage and putting the family's story into a wider context, the director is able to paint not just a family portrait, but also the portrait of a country. Sarah Borufka has this week's arts.
Soukromý vesmír, or Private Universe, is the newest work by esteemed Czech documentary maker Helena Češtíková. Known for following her subjects over long periods of time, the director has outdone herself with her latest film, which covers the life of one family over an incredible time span of 37 years. Private Universe, which is currently being shown in movie theaters across the country, grew out of Češtíková's 1974 project Miracle. The short documentary dealt with a couple in their mid-20s, Jana Ketnerová and her husband Petr, having their first baby boy Honza, the director explains.
The initial impulse to shoot this documentary was the birth of Honza, and that is why I felt this movie should be about him, because it was his birth that the viewers experience in the beginning of the film, and I wanted to follow his life story to see how happy he would be in this world and how he would experience life. So at the time, I didn't know that the family would have other children too. I admit his siblings are supporting characters more than anything else.
The 15-minute documentary has grown into the director's most ambitious project to date. Not all footage in the movie was filmed by Češtíková herself. Husband and father Petr recorded key moments in the family's life himself. Since following her subjects closely at all times was not possible with such a long-lasting project, was the director afraid she would miss something really important?
That is one of my main problems, and another critical moment with these kinds of projects is that at the beginning you do not know what you're going into, where it will lead. The beginnings are always very difficult. It's more about intuition than anything else. I always say that these kinds of documentaries over a long time span are a bet on the uncertain.
Honza, the family's firstborn child, is the central character of the movie. He is a bit of a rebel, smokes pot, and is interested in the punk movement. Later, he moves to Spain, where he works as a dishwasher. Naturally, his alternative lifestyle leads to many confrontations with his mother, Jana. Was Češtíková able to anticipate that Honza would develop into such an interesting character?
No, certainly not. You have no idea what will become of a child. He was always full of energy and opinionated, even as a child, but you cannot guess how that will develop. And you observe that gradually as the child grows up.
Like many families who lived under communism, the Ketners too retreated into their private lives, their own private universe. Jana, the mother, opted to become a stay-at-home mom after graduating from university, rather than making the sacrifices a career in a totalitarian regime would have required. Her husband Petr, an electrician, admits to not really paying much attention to the Charter 77 protest movement. The documentary is ultimately about everyday life, says Češtíková.
This for me is certainly the hardest aspect and at the same time the most interesting for a filmmaker to capture everyday life, which for all of us is very similar.
Along with chronicling important moments in the life of the Ketner family, the film also uses archive TV footage to put the story into a wider context. In this way, the documentary not only portrays one family under communism, but also the history and general mood in Czech society from 1974 until 2011. Some important political events included in the film are the Velvet Revolution and the Czech Republic's joining of the EU in 2004. However, the director was careful not to distract from the core theme too much and limited her focus to two backstories in particular, the Cold War space race and the popular singer Karel Gott. Češkíková says the space theme grew out of Honza's fascination with space rockets and cosmonauts, including the Soviet Union's Yuri Gagarin and the first Czechoslovak cosmonaut Vladimír Remek. The cosmos serves as a symbol for the characters and the country's dreams and ambitions. The director also interjects the film with footage of the iconic, if often mocked, pop singer Karel Gott at various stages of his career, regurgitating socialist clichés during the normalization era, expressing his respect for Remek on the occasion of the cosmonaut's participation in the Soviet's Soyuz 28 mission, and later singing the national anthem with exiled protest singer Karel Krill on Wenceslas Square during the Velvet Revolution. Why did Češkíková decide to include Karel Gott in the documentary?
No tak Karel Gott je opravdu jistota našeho života.
Karel Gott is a given in our lives. He is a person you simply cannot escape or ignore if you live in this country. Karel Gott is always there, and having him appear in the film was meant to illustrate a certain security, the never-changing aspect of our everyday lives.
Tak to mělo symbolizovat takovou jako určitou jistotu a neměnnost.
The main thrust of the movie, though it focuses on such a small set of characters, and in that is rather specific, is actually rather universal.
I think the main theme is, how do we fill our lives? What do we fill our lives with? And that is the main theme both for Honza and his sisters, but also for Karel Gott and for those who launch rockets into space. We're here for a short time, so what should we do with the time that we have?
Previously, Češkíková's documentaries focused on tragic characters such as the drug addict Katka, whose life takes a steady downturn that is recorded in the eponymous 2010 documentary, or René, a repeat offender whom the director followed for over 20 years. Private Universe departs from these grim realities.
Katka and René were characters on the margins of society, whereas this movie is about a stable, functioning family. It is a family portrait and a portrait of their children. Their one son is a rebel, but still, this is a film about normal people and the times we have lived through. And at the same time, as opposed to my previous films, there is more of a stress on issues and happenings in society, and the story of the family is framed by events in the world at large.
Private Universe is remarkable for the sheer span of time it covers alone. That it manages to also be humorous and touching makes it a must-see for fans of documentary film.
Sarah Barufka there with this week's Arts. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our language learning series, The ABCs of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to our new Czech language program, in which we look at the Czech language from head to toe. Now let me explain that. We are not going to list the vocabulary connected with body parts, that would be too simple. Instead, we will look at how the Czech language uses parts of the human body to create phrases and idioms. I'm sure every language is full of them. Just look at a few in English. Pay through the nose, go hand in hand, be head over heels in love, get cold feet, or give someone the cold shoulder. Czech is no exception in this respect, and with some body parts, such as legs, for example, I could count more than 24 idioms or fixed expressions. These will be in our focus during this new Czech language course. We will start next with head and proceed all the way to the toe. Speaking of this very idiom, from head to toe, why don't we take a closer look at it right now? It is not as simple to translate as it seems. Matthew is a businessman from New York. He has been living in the Czech Republic for several years and still finds the language puzzling. For example, the fact that there is no special word for toe.
You still call toes foot fingers, which I think is really amazing. You have 37 cases for every noun and adjective, and you have foot fingers. Somebody's walking around limping, and they say, I hurt my finger. Which, when I carry it forward, means your ankle is your foot wrist, and your knee is your foot elbow, and your hip is your foot shoulder, and I don't know where it meets. But it's a great language.
So, there you go. There is no special word for toe, and that's why the idiom in Czech goes from head to heel, or od hlavy k patě. And don't worry, it's not 37 cases, as Matthew said, but only 7. And that's all for now, but as I said, we'll be back next with the first handful of idioms using the word head, or hlava. Until then, you can try and find how many of them you can count in your own mother tongue. Thanks for listening, and tune in again, please.
That was Pavla Horáková with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or, of course, by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.